This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.
Hey everyone, and welcome to Ages and Icons. I'm Mike Crisolago, arts and entertainment editor at Zoomer Magazine.
And I'm Gina Bucci. No title, no fancy title like Mike has. We're at the Ed Mirvish Theater.
Yeah, we're live in the, well, live to tape, I guess.
Yeah,
in the lobby of the Ed Mirvish Theater in downtown Toronto.
Mike, did you just pick up a new phrase and you're going to use it live to tape? I don't think that's what this is, but the podcast will be recorded here at the Ed Mirvish Theater in downtown Toronto, as Mike just said, and you will be hearing a bit of rehearsing the background, and give them some background on that, Mike.
Well, you're going to be hearing the songs of Foreigner blasting through the doors here in the background, because our interview today is with Foreigner founding member, guitarist, songwriter, all-around music legend, Mick Jones.
Mick Jones!
Who's here in Toronto ahead of the Toronto debut of Jukebox Hero, the musical based on the music of Foreigner.
Yeah, that's right.
So it's awesome. So we're here in the theater. They're doing rehearsals right now, as Gina said. Mick is about to come up here and join us for a quick interview. So that means Gina, unfortunately, is going to be sort of bumped off the mic.
That's right. And mic pressure's on, because I'm cold as ice.
And if I start to screw it up, you can just jump in, grab my mic, and just push me out of the
chair. I am willing to sacrifice our love, Mike. Also, I want to make sure that you find out what love is during this interview. That's your number one goal.
I've been waiting for an interview like you all my life. That's what I'll say to Mick.
Well, I am hot-blooded.
And then he'll walk out.
Yeah. Okay, Mike, I got to go. So Mick is up on his way, and have a great interview.
Awesome.
Okay, bye.
All right, as promised, we are here in the lobby of the Ed Mirvish Theater. You can hear the music of Foreigner blasting in the background, and that's because we're here with Mick Jones. Thank you so much for being here today, sir.
My pleasure.
Appreciate it.
Yeah.
I talked about it in the intro, but the Jukebox Hero musical containing the music of Foreigner is starting here in Toronto on February 20th to the 24th. It's going to be a huge hit. I know the tickets are in great demand. But it's interesting to me that the reason we're here right now, or one of the main reasons, is a conversation that you had with Diana Ross after a flight delay at an airport back in the 80s.
Yeah, yeah.
Correct? Can you tell us a little bit about that and how that led to this today?
Yeah, we were both on the same flight to New York, and it had been delayed, so they put us in a little VIP room, and I walk in and there she is, and first of all, it took a little getting over that, you know, stunning. And we got to talking, and I believe she just finished the Wiz, so she was starting to get into theatrical production, and we were talking, and she said, "You know, you have a great song that could really work as a musical," and first of all, I was pretty surprised that she knew my songs. You know, she probably knew the singles, but she said, "Yeah, Jukebox Hero is just a great title. You've got to do something with that." And we didn't end up doing it. We both wanted to do it, but it coincided with a lot of other stuff we were doing, so we put it on the shelf and pulled it out about a year ago.
Wow. And, so about 30 years later.
Yeah, yeah.
I've heard that things move slow in show business, but
Right.
So, I mean, for yourself, someone who's obviously wrote the songs, you performed the songs thousands of times over the course of your career, what is it like for you to sit in a theater and hear the interpretation and the performance of these songs by the stage artist?
Well, I kind of lent my ear to the auditions, and you know, we went through that quite in depth. And to tell you the truth, the run-throughs we did at in Edmonton and Calgary, I was blown away.
Yeah.
I had no idea that the songs could actually be played by somebody else. I mean, you know, it was kind of an eye opener for me. So,
And I'm sure a lot of the people in the audience who are fans of Foreigner, or whether they're not, and they've just heard the songs before, they'll sort of probably rediscover something maybe new about the songs, given that it's a different performers singing them. As the songwriter, as the artist, did you rediscover anything about any of these songs that you've written? Any other side to them that maybe you didn't notice before?
Yeah, there are some of the songs that I get emotional about, you know, a combination of knowing that on stage they're likely to touch a lot of people in the audience. You see people identifying them with them. And some of the ballads, you know, they sound great. And, you know, as I say, I was just, it was way over what I expected. And since then, you know, watching it grow and turn into this, you know, it's kind of a dream.
Yeah, it's huge now.
Yeah.
Did you speak with any of the performers, offer any sort of advice or mentorship for performing the songs, or?
No, not really. I think, you know, they know it's a serious venture and they all want to do the best, you know. And I just encourage them, and I like what I'm hearing, so maybe a little tweak here and there, but you know, it's got a life of its own. It will have, hopefully. Yeah. And there we go.
Yeah, I mean, for the people who will listen to this, they may not realize that we've been in the lobby for the last few hours, and we've been listening to them. The music coming from the theater there, and it's fantastic. Just, it's just rocking. It's hard to walk around here and not be bopping your head or tapping your feet.
Thank you.
Now, you mentioned before that the show did, it was sort of produced by Foreigner and Anarin Productions out of Calgary.
Yeah.
And it sort of grew out of Calgary and workshopping in Alberta, Calgary, Edmonton, and such. Yeah. And now it's in Toronto. So I'm wondering if there's a reason for the Canadian connection, or if there is a sort of a Canadian connection to Foreigner through the years.
Well, the first connection I had was I was supposed to emigrate here from England.
Oh, okay.
And Brian Adams and I have joked over the years, what would have happened if you'd been born in England and I was, you know, it's funny. We took Brian on our first, well, one of our first big tours for the Four album, and I think it really helped him. In fact, he told me it really helped him a lot. So we have that bond. I love the Canadian people. You know, if it were another world, I would probably be moving to Canada right now, because where I live is a little scary.
Yeah.
Down there.
yeah, absolutely. You know, and that's, you know that Mick is sincere saying that, because it's February as we record this right now. The weather is terrible, so if he wants to move to Canada when he's here in February, that is some true true words there. I wanted to ask you just a little bit in general. I mean, the music that we're hearing here with Jukebox Hero is a lot of Foreigner's greatest hits. And Foreigner in general has sold something like 80 million records, one of the best-selling bands of all time, which is phenomenal.
You
sit here watching this musical take shape, and with this legacy to your name, how does that feel for you as an artist? And you guys just celebrated your 40th anniversary last year, too, Foreigner.
Yeah.
So, I mean, how does it feel after 40 years to be able to sit there and know that you built that?
Feel a tremendous amount of gratitude for having the chance to do this, and as I say, you know, I'd have never dreamed that this band was going to persevere, change in a little few ways, you know, but persevere and adjust itself to this time and realize that there are so many people that love the songs still. We have a tremendous support from radio still. You know, the band that we have now currently has been together for about 14 years. It's like, it's no longer a new band. It's definitely Foreigner in a new, you know, with a new fresh approach and very powerful. And we're kind of in a surge time now where we're back playing arenas and sheds and we're touring, headlining festivals. in Europe, and that again, I have trouble sort of, wow, you know, you get 15-year-old kids in the front row down there going crazy, singing the words to the songs.
Wow.
And, you know, I go like, what year is this? You
right.
know? Because it just feels like the first time again.
Right. Right. Yeah. I mean, imagine, I guess if 40 years ago or 35 years ago, somebody had said you'd be headlining festivals. Oh. I mean, you wouldn't have believed it, right?
No, I mean, really not. Again, I think the songs have helped to install us in that, you know, rare kind of air.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's still fun playing them. You know, not every single night, but yeah. It's still generally a lot of fun playing them. We improvise a little bit and show the quality of musicianship in the band. And the songs just seem to project, and you know, you look out there in the crowd and some people are emotional, weeping. You know, we've had a lot of correspondence about that over the years, where people, you know, have gone through trying times when they've lost family members, when people are getting married, you know,
yeah.
weddings. And, you know, it's wild because you get that feedback.
Right.
And you see them, you know, and you see them reacting. And that's wow. a big deal.
That's got to be one of the most fulfilling things about
yeah.
what you've done
yeah,
in your
it
career.
Is. Yeah.
I saw a recent interview with you where you were talking about touring and touring at this point in your career and how
yeah.
it's a little bit different than when you were younger, and that you and the band, you eat
yeah.
better and take better care of yourself mm-hmm. than perhaps you did in your earlier days. So I wanted to ask a little bit about that and what a tour sort of involves for you and how it is different from those younger days.
Well, I mean, they're much more organized than they used to be. You know, it's become like anything. It's a rolling little corporation in
yeah.
a way, and a family. And, you know, obviously the riders in the dressing room have changed quite a bit. Instead of the, you know, being lined around with used champagne bottles, it's, you know, it's soft drinks and water. And, you know, the food has become better on the road. You know,
yeah.
they have caterers that really do, you know, customize what you want to eat. And buses have become a bit more comfortable.
Right.
And a lot more comfortable. And sometimes, you know, if we need to take private aviation, we do that.
Right.
But depending on the itinerary where we're going, but we don't overdo it, you know, we sort of sensible about it.
Right.
We do want to make a little, it is a job after all,
you know?
but a good job.
Now you, well, Foreigner is going to be touring Canada, the Cold as Ice Tour,
yeah.
through parts of February and March, and I believe you're going to be on
yes.
some of those shows.
Yes.
So what do you personally enjoy about touring nowadays?
Well, I find it's interesting. We just came back from Australia, and we hadn't been there for a few years. And you see the way the cities have changed, you know, the modern look and decor and architecture. I like going to museums sometimes if they have something on in the town that I'd like to see.
Yeah.
And, you know... I like traveling, you know, around the world to see again what's going on. And
right.
Yeah, because you get a real, when you're in those countries, you get much more of a feel about what's going on generally, you know. Like to stay aware.
Yeah, and I guess a lot of artists will sometimes say that, sure, I've toured the world, but it's sort of, I've toured the world's hotels and then the hotel to the stadium
yeah.
and then stadium to the airport and you're out.
Yeah.
So it sounds like you get to at least experience a little bit more of the
yeah,
culture.
I like to. I mean, I don't like to sort of just sleep in all day.
Yeah.
I like to get up and feel I'm, you know, I can enjoy it. And it's, yeah, it's always fun to do that.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's... it's still a challenge touring.
Of course.
You know, we do pretty heavy tours. We probably do about 120 this year.
Wow.
And that takes, you have to be in shape.
Right.
You know? So in that way, it really keeps me in shape.
Yeah, forces you, I guess, to be in shape. Right?
Yeah, you have to, yeah.
I wanted to ask you about that because you had your heart surgery in 2012, I believe.
Had my first.
You had your heart surgery?
Yeah.
In 2012, was,
yeah.
was it? Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, obviously still touring after that sort of medical procedure and
yeah.
that on your body, the,
yeah.
the what it... The
well,
toll.
I kind of eased back into it.
Yeah.
I was determined that... my career was going to continue, and a combination of family, friends, you know, gave me a lot of support. And, you know, I guess at some point you have to pay for some of the follies that you indulged in those days especially. But the band was never really like a drug,
yeah.
known for drug taking, or there was a fair amount of drinking, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, we made it through. So
you did, and you're here, and 40th anniversary in the bag. I mean, what kind of maybe tips or advice or just sort of things have you learned about just staying healthy and active at this point in your career? Could you share with our listeners?
Well, I think you have to decide that you're going to do this, and you're not going to come back home kind of as a wreck. You know, you're going to come back. It's always a little bittersweet to finish a tour. I always get like the last few days, I'm like, oh, I've got to go back and readjust to another life. But it's all good, you know, it's all... and really, you know, as I say, if you choose something to do, you know, I like to read a lot. It's a chance to catch up on, you know, music and what's happening. It becomes a little family vibe on the bus, you know.
Yeah.
That's yeah.
sweet. I mean, just looking back on your career, just a quick look at your bio and, you know, just looking at people that you've worked with or befriended, everyone from the Beatles to George Harrison, Peter Frampton, Billy Joel, Van Halen. I mean, you're crossing generations. I look at the
yeah.
work you've done as a performer and also as a producer and songwriter and such, and you bridge yeah. all these generations of stars.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, to me and to most of us, that's incredible. We know who we love about that. But when you look back on it, what are the memories that stand out to you as the most, the ones that sort of affected you most?
Well, playing at the Garden in New York was yeah. one big milestone, you know. And then playing in London at the Wembley Arena,
yeah.
getting all my family up and letting them see what I do.
Yeah.
And, you know, there have been a number of high points, some low points, but managed to survive through that and continue. And so... you know, there are a bunch of different reasons to celebrate, and but you know, we don't take it too seriously. I mean, yes, we take the music and the performing seriously, but I've been, you know, doing this for quite a long time, and just every day I feel thankful for. You know, having come through a few trials and tribulations, and so life's a bit of a celebration for
yeah.
me.
It's funny and really great to hear that when you say you don't take all the sort of other stuff too seriously.
Yeah.
But it, you know, it's funny to me to think like, well, here's this artist who was hanging out with the Beatles in the '60s at the height of Beatlemania. I mean, just the memories that you must have and the people
yeah.
that you met, it must have been an incredible ride.
Yeah, that was a big
yeah.
big moment in my life.
Yeah.
Spending probably 5 or 6 days with them.
Wow.
They took me under their wing and to the point where I thought I was going to be going to the States with them.
Part of the British invasion.
Oh, yeah. I had the fantasy was there already. And And that was kind of invaluable. And I thought, gosh, if I could get even close to that level, you know.
Yeah.
And I got pretty close.
Yeah, you know? Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Now, that brings up, I mean, the inevitable questions that a lot of stars of your generation are starting to retire and do their farewell tours and such. And as we said before, you've done your 40th anniversary tour, and that was not a retirement tour.
No.
So, I mean, where do you stand on that sort of idea of...
Well, we decided to do some shows with Lou and the original members of the band.
Yeah, with Lou Grant.
We've done a number of those, and they've been very successful. And I think the fans seem to love them. They love the way that perhaps the band is able to
reconfigure.
Yeah, that's right. You know, as I say, it goes down very well. And I like it too, because the last two shows we did, something happened. And I got back into the, you know, late 70s vibe. And I was moving the same way, and I was like, doing all the shapes and stuff, you know, and I thought, what am I doing at this age, doing all that? But people loved it, and I loved it too. It gave me, reminded me of that energy we had at the beginning, and I had a great time.
That's amazing. So just sort of, the plan is to just keep on going, see what happens,
See what happens, and one day at a time for me. And we'll just see. I'm not going to be wheeled on the stage or anything like that. But I don't know what else I'd do, quite honestly. You know, it's been such a passion for me, and I've done so many things in my life that I'm a happy camper.
Of course. I'm happy to hear that. I heard a rumor, and maybe this is completely out of left field, but that there is a possibility of perhaps new songs or retooled songs from yourself and Lou Graham at some point?
Yeah, there are some songs half finished that we weren't able to finish them at the time, and they got put aside. But Lou's got a few ideas, and I do, and I think we're going to try and get together at some point this year. And sift through what we have, and who knows, you know.
So you have the musical, the Cold as Ice tour, and possibly, if it all works out, and some new foreigner music.
Yeah, we've also got a DVD coming out of the first show in England in 1978 or 9, I think it was.
Oh, my God.
And playing at the Rainbow in London. And I took a look at it, and it was only it wasn't recorded. It was just basically a board mix, and I listened to it and looked at it, and it's amazing. You know, it took me right back.
Yeah.
And I think it's a good, for me, it made me remember, you know, how everything came together.
Wow.
And then we've just done a pretty much an orchestral tour of Australia, and that's opened up another avenue.
Yeah.
We do Unplugged, which is, I don't know how we do all this stuff, but we do it. Yeah.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
That's incredible. So just before we wind up here, I wanted to ask, since you are doing the Canadian tour, if, I know you talked about working with Bryan Adams when he was younger, but if you have any particularly fond memories of Canada over the years, or being in Canada or touring?
Well, I always felt, I mean, I came here a long time ago, and I spent some time in Montreal and Toronto, and just something about, it was a calmer sort of vibe than New York, definitely. Yeah. And I mean, I'd lived in places like Paris and London, you know, but New York was crazy. And so going to Canada, I found it a bit of a relief, you know. I like the attitude here. the problems are much less, I think, than, you know, I mean, in the quality of life, let's say. I think people concentrate more on that here. And it's just a bit cold, that's all.
It's a bit cold, especially in February. Lastly, when people come to check out Jukebox Hero, what do you hope that they take from this musical?
Well, I think just the awareness that I think some of the audience are going to be surprised that we wrote all these songs, you know. And we never were a band that sort of the glossy magazine band, you know. So we weren't instantly recognizable, which suited me down to the ground. But, and I think we found that you can see people that didn't realize that some of these songs they've been listening to were actually by us, you know. Right. So I think it's going to, being a slightly different audience, a theater-going audience, I think it'll demonstrate that we're not a one-hit wonder band.
Yeah, definitely.
And, you know, we can do it.
Awesome. Well, I want to make sure I get these dates right. So February 20th to 24th, Jukebox Hero is running here at the Ed Mervish Theater in Toronto.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the matinee, there's matinee and evening performances on the Saturday and Sunday, so I guess it's the 23rd and the 24th.
Yeah.
So you can go to mervish.com for that. The Cold as Ice Foreigner Canadian Tour, which is running the 24th of February, so right when this ends, I guess you got to head out on tour. February 24th to March 18th, and foreigneronline.com for tickets and information about that tour. And if you're listening to Ages and Icons, you can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play. Gina usually does these plugs. What am I missing?
You're right.
And there we go.
Spotify.
Spotify. And of course, everythingzoomer.com.
Where you can see me at one of the Foreigner shows, for sure.
You can spot Gina in the crowd. Say hi. So thank you, Mick, of course, for being here today.
And thank you.
Congratulations on everything going on.
Thank you very much.
And all the best with the
it's
musical
been a pleasure.
Tour. Thank you to Gina, of course, and to everybody involved, and to everyone listening. And we'll see you next time on Ages and Icons.
Sounds good.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Mick.
You got it.
This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.